This is why we watch the NFL.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The snap, the put down, the swing of the right leg.
Yeah, baby.
It's on its way.
Yeah,
go!
Robbie, go!
Matt Gay brings it home.
This is why we love the NFL.
It is caught by Kelce! Touchdown!
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, Tampa Bay Times Bucks reporter Rick Stroud. Plus, your phone calls, divisional round recap, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just had Daniel Jeremiah in hour number one, and I just love his insight, man. The way that he said that San Francisco is built to win in Green Bay, and Green Bay is built to win in San Francisco, and the game being in Green Bay was a difference maker on that front, the special teams as well. If you missed anything that Daniel had to say about this weekend and about the upcoming class of quarterbacks coming into the National Football League, for sure. Because we just saw last night what happens when you maybe trade up into the top 10 for your guy. Even though that guy doesn't have a lot of wins at the collegiate level or a lot of success at the collegiate level or doesn't play in the college football playoffs at the collegiate level, like, say, Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech and Josh Allen in Wyoming. And you could see what happens under the right circumstances with the right team and the right seasoning. What comes out of the oven is a cooker, man.
And credit to Josh Allen, too, for putting in the work. Like, this guy's development from being a guy at Wyoming who was about a 50% completion percentage, and then his rookie year, you're like, was that the right pick?
Yes.
And now MVP, maybe the best quarterback in the league.
Let's linger on Josh Allen just for a little bit here, because I'd like to give Bills fans a little bit of a buck up, an attaboy or an attagirl or what have you, for all you Bills Mafia.
Rich, you put enough negativity on Buckeye. Is that, I think you're trying to give them a compliment to the Bills? You sure you want to use that word?
It's okay. Buck up is what
I said. Oh, buck up. Oh, I'm sorry. Gotcha.
Well, buck up. Look, when you draft somebody seventh overall and you trade up to go get them, you're hoping. I said this the other day after he boat raced the Patriots out, that you have to win your division before you go at the king in your conference. And for, you know, Allen's final, you know, for Brady's final years there and Allen's first few years, it was one of the same. It was Brady. And they boat raced Belichick, and he looks terrific in doing it. Perfect game, just an absolutely perfect game. But when you draft somebody, you not only hope, okay, for that, you hope that you have a guy that can then go at the king and say, I'm on par. And and certainly on occasion, I'm better. And right now in the AFC, the king is Mahomes. Four straight championship game appearances to start his career. Okay. That's the guy. And last night, even though the Bills lost, and yes, they're scheme, if you will, in the last 13 seconds of regulation, a touch off, to say the least. But Allen's the man. He's not just your man. He is the man. What he did in that 17-play drive, what he did in the one before it, you're down nine, and then, you know, you got to get points out of this. Is your guy going to maybe make a mistake? Is your guy going to suddenly, you know, sphincter up? Is that what's going to happen? No, he's just going to go up top and make a beautiful, gorgeous, big-time throw. And that was supposed to be Allen, right, coming out of college, Chris? The big howitzer, remember?
Big arm.
Do you remember I told you after the combine I saw him throw that he faded back? Remember I came back from Indianapolis?
There was that one throw at the combine.
Where he fades back inside his own 70, 10, lets it loose, and it landed on like the other 20, and it was a perfect throw. He did that at a playoff game when they needed it. Touchdown.
Yeah. Bomb.
But it's the 17-play drive. It's that one where he not only converted three third downs and two fourth downs and that two-point conversion and the touchdown, but he carried it five times himself. And he's taken wallops in the fourth quarter of a playoff game in the crucible of Arrowhead. People are going nuts. Romo's saying that you can't even think in there. This is what he's doing on this drive. And you could see You could see he's out of breath. Why not? He's as big as a tight end. He's as big. He's bigger than most linebackers. And he's coming for you. And he's going to run you over. And the thing that's most debilitating that he does better than anybody, and I'm including Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson and all those guys, and Mahomes, the number of times where you think he's dead to rights, and he just runs away from you, and he hops over you, and he makes sure that he can break out of your tackle and keep a play going 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds long, and then dagger you. Congrats, Bills fans. You've got one of the best in the league and maybe one of the all-time best. How many times can you say that about somebody? He is one of the all-time best within the first 5 years of his drafting. Seriously, Chris, give me some. Mahomes is one of them, right? Brady was another because he had won 3 times. And even then, people didn't think he was like some physical specimen.
Yeah, he wasn't doing what these guys were doing.
Right? I mean, who else?
Lamar Jackson won MVP, doesn't have the playoff resume.
But right now,
like these guys
right now, I mean, this is the second season he couldn't finish.
Yeah.
Like, sustained all-time best. You were joking about, like, whoever does the busts in Canton should sit him down right now.
I would say just get his measurements and just keep those on file.
Because I'm serious,
we're talking about Hall of Fame in 20 years for Josh Allen.
Yeah. You can see what he's doing. That in this game today that you need to run and you need to throw and you need to be smart, you need to be accurate. Remember that, too? He wasn't accurate. Remember that coming out of college?
He was like 50% at Wyoming. It was bad. And even his first year in Buffalo, bad. And then all of a sudden, skyrocket. Look, guys, so his development is out of this world.
Everybody who's and everybody who's hoping to get somebody like Josh Allen, like, say, Cleveland and the Jets, had a shot at him. Didn't do it. So I know Bills fans are feeling
it today.
Yeah,
but I don't want a revisionist history, the 18 draft. Like, Baker Mayfield won the Heisman Trophy,
yes.
And Sam Darnold was a phenomenal talent coming out of college. Like, Daniel Jeremiah will tell him he was his number one quarterback.
I got it. Venom?
So to play the results here is not fair. Like, Josh Allen probably went where he was supposed to go.
Oh, I'm always one of those people that thinks that fate is what it's supposed to be and things of that nature. But
Josh Allen was 52% his first year at Buffalo.
I got it.
58% in 2019, and then went up to 69%.
He's out of his mind.
It's crazy.
It's great. And that's why Brian Daboll is going to get a job somewhere, maybe with the Giants, where they say, do that for Daniel Jones. Good luck. But Bills fans, I know you're bummed today, but just, you got a winner. Oh, my God, you have a winner. And you got some guy who will not give up. And you know. That's the only way the Chiefs could have won last night was to win that toss and take it down and win that game in overtime because he was coming for you again.
Whoever won that coin toss was winning.
Well, I don't know about that either.
I kind of think so.
Well, you know what? Let's hold on one second.
Never got to that.
Matt in Enid, Oklahoma. All right, Matt. That was for you, brother.
I appreciate the Bills' love. That was rough. That ripped my heart out a bit. I said a lot of bad words last night, and I screamed a lot. But you know what? My biggest problem with it, I know the future's bright, and I love my Bills, and I've been a Bills fan for 35 years, and I've seen it all. But the only thing that bothers me today is I can handle the loss because we got Josh Allen. Is it, you know, the fans need to relax because there's a lot of fans calling for fire Sean McDermott and all this stuff. It was a dark time after Jim Kelly and Marv Levy. So you need to appreciate what you got, take a breath, relax, and just relax. It's coming. We're going to win one. I guarantee you we're going to win one.
Well, you got the right quarterback, and again, you've got the right people around. And thanks for the call, Matt, and I'm giving you a hug through the screen right here. Gabriel Davis, too, right? If there's now somebody with Diggs, right, and Dawson Knox, and Devin Singletary came out of to the fore as well. I'm not concerned about the Bills moving forward. I'm just sorry that somebody had to lose that one last night. It was the corker and classic that we were all hoping for.
That's great.
Nathan in L.A., you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, Rich. Good to talk again. So I'm actually kind of a traditionalist, but here now I am now fully convinced that at least in the playoffs, I'm pounding the table now for both teams have to have one shot at the ball in the overtime.
Okay. I appreciate you teeing up this conversation, Nathan. So if you don't mind, just give a listen.
No worries.
Because let's dive into that. That's Nathan in L.A. here on the Rich Eisen Show. I knew it the minute that, you know, Mahomes won the toss and marched down the field and scored that touchdown, that everyone would be out here saying, hey, you got to change the overtime rules in the NFL. Interestingly enough, a team 2 years ago said both teams should be mandated to touch the ball regardless of a touchdown being scored by the team that wins first. Was the Kansas City Chiefs put that in front of the ownership, and it didn't even make it to a vote. DOA, dead on arrival. Now, again, the overtime rules used to be any score would win it, and then they changed that a few years ago after, I think, the Saints won a playoff game where it was just a...
I think it was 2012.
Was that what it was? Yeah, okay, was that... I don't know which game led to it, but they decided, you know, let's just make sure that if somebody kicks a field goal to start overtime, the next team has a chance to match it, to continue it, score a touchdown to win it, and if they don't do either, game's over there. So at least somebody's going to touch it again, right? At least both teams are going to touch the football in overtime. But if the first team scores a touchdown, that's the end of it. Part of it, I guess, player safety, that if these players keep going on and on and on, banging into each other and then wind up playing, you know, a whole full quarter, like if it's kind of like professional football around the world where you have to play an entire, you know, 45-minute period.
In the World Cup.
Right.
Internet.
And then if it's another tie or what have you, then it's another period of time, and then there's, you know, penalty kicks, which kind of stinks that everything comes down to that. But I guess you can't keep running around the field forever and more. But, and I totally understand that I feel robbed, and if I'm a Bills fan, I feel robbed that Josh Allen doesn't get it. But we're assuming, again, that whoever won would march right down the field, right? That the Chiefs wouldn't be able to stop Allen because they hadn't done it in about a half an hour of real time.
Mm-hmm.
And both defenses are gassed, so the other defense that's gassed should have an opportunity to be gashed, similar to whoever loses the coin toss. And I say you should play better defense. That's my initial reaction. Play better defense.
Come on.
Now,
come on what?
I do want to hit the flip side here, which is what you're saying. Come on, right? You think that Allen should have a chance to have at least had an opportunity to match the touchdown, correct?
Well, I mean, obviously you can say, like, you know, play better D, but
well, we're just assuming that both teams' defenses were ready to be steamrolled.
That's how I looked at it.
Okay. Well, not every overtime is going to be that way, number one, right? What if the overtime went in Rams and Bucks? Both of those didn't seem to be, you know, gashed defenses. As a matter of fact, the Rams might have had the advantage because their defense, without having a short field on them, with the exception of Jalen Ramsey giving that one up top, they had the advantage. They were beating Brady up like crazy. And the number of times that the Rams had their way against the Bucs defense, if they didn't keep shooting themselves in the foot with fumbles and the short field goal, I can't believe that. I don't know if the winner of the coin toss would have won that game on the spot.
I mean, just look at 49ers Packers. They might still be playing.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It's just this particular game, both defenses were gassed by the end, and we're complaining about a coin toss that whoever won, that the coin flip decided. No, the fact that the defense couldn't stop Kansas City or couldn't prevent overtime in 13 exactly. seconds beforehand. I mean, there's so many things that go into it. But here's the one thing that I don't think anybody who is taking the opposite point of view of what I'm saying right now are thinking about. If both teams were allowed to touch the football, regardless of whether the first team scored a touchdown or not, it changes the entire strategy of overtime. I would want to lose the coin toss, actually, or because the other team would probably have the same point of view, I'd want to win and defer in overtime. I'd want to know what I have to do to win the game. Do I have to score a touchdown to match it? That means I get to play like a video game style, like the way the Bills came out last night. Doesn't matter what fourth down it is or down in distance or where it is, we're going for it. Because I know I'd have to score a touchdown. I'd know I'd have to go. So I'm going for it on fourth down from my own 18-yard line. You get the ball first, you're not going for it on fourth down on your own 18-yard line. You're punting. If Mahomes got the ball last night first and Allen was allowed to come back and possess it, would he have been so aggressive to score a touchdown first? Or when they start getting into the red zone, they'd have to sit there and think, we can't, you know, we can't just win it now. Or we are going to be aggressive because we're afraid that this other guy's going to score a touchdown. So we got to be aggressive. They're going to put the ball up as much? Or are they going to settle for three? I would say most teams would wind up settling for three. And then the other team, knowing that they can maybe score a touchdown to win it, they enter the red zone and they're starting to think, hey, wait a minute, we got to be careful. We're at least going to need to get three here, right? We're not going to go for the touchdown here, run the risk of not even getting three to keep the game going. So all the aggressivity that we're kind of digging that we saw from Kansas City last night, and that we'd want to see Allen to come out and actually have an aggressive posture like that. At least he should have that opportunity. Neither team are going to be as aggressive as we want them to be, and we're kind of enjoying watching. Could you imagine the head coach that gets the ball second under these overtime rules and tries to win it with the 7 points right there because they know my defense is gassed, as opposed to going for the field goal? It's fourth and two from the 21. You're going to go for it, or you're going to kick that less than 40-yard field goal to keep overtime going? Of course you're going to choose the latter. Could you imagine the coach that doesn't and goes for it and then gets stopped with somebody like, say, Derrick Henry, who got stopped not only on a fourth and one, but also on a two-point conversion from the one? Like, it's no guarantee.
Brandon Staley would go for it.
Maybe. We've seen that sort of stuff, and we've also seen the reaction to it.
Yeah.
But Harbaugh that's just would go for it.
Yeah, Harbaugh would go
I
for it.
I don't know, guys.
Tomlin
I don't
go
think,
for it.
All I'm saying is you got to play it out. That if both teams were allowed to possess the ball, I think you'd see a lot of, you know, pussyfooting around, to be honest with you, before they actually got to the part of overtime where it's sudden death.
Right.
Because that's the way it would be, right? Like, you'd have to have both teams. Like, Allen would have had an opportunity to match the touchdown. And then once that happened, then it's sudden death. Or we're just going to let them keep matching up, kind of like college football, until one team doesn't beat the other.
Yeah, do you just play and a then full...
Is it timed, or we're just no time, right? There's no time involved.
Well, you can play a 10-minute quarter, maybe.
But what does a quarter even mean anymore? It's basically like... Like penalty kicks. One team gets to kick a penalty kick. Another one gets to kick one. And then finally, once you don't match it up.
Just play until nobody scores then.
Or, right. Or some team gets with the two possessions that you're allowed. You get three. I got three. We continue. You got seven. I know I got to get seven. Going second in that situation is absolutely an advantage. I would defer. I'd want to lose the coin toss on the spot or win it and defer.
Yeah, the stats from college football, too, a lot of people saying, like, oh, college overtime.
Well, that stinks.
I know, I understand, but the stat is, like, 62% of the winners of college overtime take the ball second. And so, like, to your point, it is an advantage to go second in this style of overtime.
But we all saw how aggressive Mahomes was, and we loved it. Why not?
But because he's like that because he knows
correct.
A touchdown ends the game.
Right. If Allen had an opportunity after him, first of all, winning the toss, I'd go second. Allen would have gone first. And if he scored the touchdown, now you get to see how aggressive Mahomes is. But how aggressive would Allen have been? What if they forced a fourth down? Damn straight you're seeing Bass out there kicking a field goal.
Right. 100%.
So the question is what are your rules after both teams touch it? Because you got to think about how it would actually play out, and it's not going to be the way that you all want to see. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. More of your phone calls over Reaction Monday after the greatest weekend of football ever. That's next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code Eisen when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here, 844-204-RICH. Kathy in Philadelphia has been hanging on. What's up, Kathy? How you been?
Well, I've been better, Rich. I've been better.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So two very quick things. One, if the Texans actually hire Josh McCown, I think Roger Goodell and Jonathan Bean need to acknowledge that the Rooney Rule is hogwash. But the other reason for my call, Rich, last week when the Patriots got blown out, I believe Brockman checked out after the third quarter. And while he still had the game on, focused on other things. Because it was a blowout. Yesterday's game, however, is going to be replayed probably forever. When they do the when NFL Network has the A Football Life, Josh Allen, they're going to show a clip of yesterday's game as the character building pause before commercial. So my question to you, Rich, and really on behalf of every fan of a losing team this weekend, for the love of all that is Josh Allen, what kind of a sociopath would choose the eternal salt in the wound of a last-minute loss over the paper cut of a blowout loss? Yep. And follow-up, is that person somebody who eats pizza with a knife and fork in secret?
Well, two things. Not a sociopath and not a knife and fork in pizza, because I'm raising my hand. I would give anything for the Jets to be in a game like that yesterday. Anything. I will tell you this, Kathy. I will give anything. I want to see Zach Wilson throw one pass when it means so much, like what Josh Allen threw last night, and then he threw it 15 more times. I would hope to see that. Much better to have loved and lost than never having loved at all. That is the fact. Period. End of story. I mean, the Jets season was over the minute that, you know, my left tackle went down in week one, pretty much. Okay. And then I sat through that entire all year, so on and so forth and so on. They aren't even a factor. They're not even remotely close to sniffing to anything near a factor. The Bills were playing in a game last night. The whole country was watching because they are the utmost of relevant, to the point where the Giants are raiding their system to try and replicate it in New York City, New Jersey, as just being helpful to the Buffalo fans for the Giants right now. Okay. Like, that is a fact. Would the Bills rather be in the Jets situation? No way. No, thank you.
But those are two extreme situations, Rich. I mean, as evidenced by your opening, you referenced two of the most heartbreaking events in Bills history that happened literally decades ago.
Correct.
And they're still being referenced. No one's ever going to remember last week's blowout because no one cares. But we still have to hear wide right. We still have to hear about the illegal forward pass decades later.
Kathy in Philadelphia, everybody, thank you for the call. I like it. The illegal forward pass, otherwise known as the Music City Miracle. Music City Miracle. You call it the snow game.
It's the snow game.
It's the tuck rule game to most other people.
Right. I get it.
Yeah. Look, man, we've had this conversation multiple times here on this program.
Rather get blown out, man.
No, thank you.
No, the helmet catch all.
No, thank you. I would rather Michigan have lost to Georgia in a nail biter than that crap that I had to sit through on New Year's Eve. And now I'm seeing the SEC Network trolling Tom Brady because Matthew Stafford beat Tom Brady. Georgia beat Michigan again.
Funny meme.
No.
Funny
meme. No, you know what I mean? Like, I would much rather my team have lost a heartbreaker, a squeaker, all of that. I've been on the short end of so many Michigan moments. Rather be relevant than irrelevant. Talked about, spell my name right. A million percent.
The Jets don't make it to the big games. We're talking about like big games, though. Like season-long misery, like
see,
whatever.
Thing,
like
you're the fact that he's now like, latched on to Georgia. He's latched on to Georgia. This guy who grew up as a military rat all over the world and had so many different places for him to grow up. Mm-hmm. And be and call his own, finally now latches on to Georgia football because he meets the love of his life and has a child with her.
And Syracuse is bad.
Yeah, that helps too.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, man, loved and lost and never at all. I want to be relevant. It was a thrill to have Michigan even be relevant for that month-long period. On just one time, I want Zach Wilson to fade back in a situation like Arrowhead with the whole country watching and find Gabriel Davis or whoever the Jets version of Gabriel Davis is or run around and create so many problems for the defense like Josh Allen. I want it just once. I'll take it once, one time, and I don't know if I'm ever going to have it.
So does that apply to like the Cowboys too? Because
yes,
we weren't so relevant and we've done it five times and yet sometimes I'm made to feel like it doesn't matter, but now you're saying it does matter though,
well,
right?
I mean, I have my oldest child is 13. We could double his age up and that's the last time your team was relevant like that.
That's fine if you talk your child, but what about me? Like
would you rather the Cowboys had lost, made the NFC East championship occur and lost the manner in which they lost.
Okay.
Wouldn't you rather have it than the way that this guy's team got boat raced out of the playoffs?
I mean,
You're my team?
Yeah.
Which means you're irrelevant. You're trying to choose.
I've been trying to argue all year with you guys that like, yeah, we didn't win, but we're still relevant. Like we still won our division. We still made the playoffs.
Yes, but you act like your relevance means that you should be listened to because you're a championship team, because you're going to be a championship team. And then when it doesn't happen. So that's where it comes into play.
Okay.
But
so I'm just making
yourself
sure.
Up. No, you open yourself up for that sort of conversation, which is better than the other way around.
Yeah, but Kathy's point is...
The whole idea is, like, I don't want to be reminded of the awful loss years from now.
Right, Kathy's point
again
is, like, how would you rather your season end?
I would rather Michigan make the championship and not have the timeout than not make the championship at all.
No, but it's
like,
how would you want it to end?
Of course I want it to end with a win.
Does your season end like the Patriots? Like blown out? Great. As a fan, then I don't have to agonize about a fourth quarter or a blown call here or there or a missed play.
You just knew you weren't as good that day.
We just weren't as good that day. Or would you rather have it end like last night? Like the Bills are good enough to beat the Chiefs, but they lost in the last second.
And I love how she said it's going to be like the character building moment before the commercial break of a football life. But we all know Josh Allen's football life is going to finish up pretty damn good.
I think so right now. Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to get a gold jacket.
So, again, relevance rather than irrelevant.
That's not the argument, though, for this point.
And being in it and sitting there and thinking this could possibly be it, and you got 13 seconds to go. I'd rather be in that situation than your situation or my situation on New Year's Eve when I'm literally seeing dropped balls that don't cause me to drink because it's midnight.
If you would have paused the game at 13 seconds and said, hey, Bills fans, you're going to lose, they would look at you like you're crazy.
No, they wouldn't. They would say, like, tell me another story that's just
you're
like the rest of my life.
You're going to lose. They would rather have gotten blown out. They don't need another agonizing moment in their sports history.
We have someone that we could ask this question to instead of thinking about Bills fans.
You mean our stellar coordinating
producer?
He's in
our ear right now. What's he think?
Need to call for him from the back?
He can't. He's busy doing the show.
Speakerphone.
He'd take last night, he said. He would take last night. Damn straight you would. Damn straight you would.
I don't know.
Good Lord, you guys are so fragile.
Would you rather bleed out or shot to the head?
Stop. Good
shot
Lord.
To the head. End
Stop it.
It.
I would, Stop
I'm
it.
With Brockman.
It's sports,
one.
Not life, even though sports is life for so many people.
I don't know. I'm with you, Chris. I'm with Chris.
Right, I'm going to take a phone call now, and then we'll take a break, and we'll do the whole overreaction thing, okay? Let's go to Rob in Pennsylvania. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
What's going on?
I think I have an answer to your overtime situation with the NFL. I think the NFL should just borrow a little bit from college, but instead of starting on the opposition's 25-yard line, make all the drives start on your own 25-yard line. No punts. Fourth down happens. You go
no
for
thanks.
It. If you miss it, the other team gets the ball. This way, the winning team has to put together a drive to score to win.
No thanks.
Again, give each team the ball once.
Rob, I reject that wholeheartedly when you said no punts. Let me ask you this question, man. Do you think the Packers would like to play a game with no punts? What do you think? Of course. They would.
Do you think?
No. It doesn't matter. The game's on the line. So suddenly, what we're going to do is we're going to remove the one phase of the game that you're terrible at, and that the other team might be better at. It's called three phases of the game for a reason, because there's three phases of a game. You know what I mean?
And
Tyreek Hill. I didn't even mention in my open Tyreek Hill's punt return.
Crazy.
Unbelievable. Of course you put him back there
after
on punt return because he's an advantage.
Resulted in a re-kick.
Johnny Hecker is a weapon for the Rams, but let's remove him from overtime yesterday just because we need to what? Be expedient? No, thank you. This is what you do, man. Thank you for the call, Rob. I don't mean to be demonstrative, but when you say no punts, that really pisses me off. If you want both teams to touch it, it's no longer a clocks. It's just another quarter. A fifth quarter is you get one possession, you get one possession in that quarter. Do you score more points than the other? There's a kickoff. There is a punt. There is an option to punt. That's it. Or you want to time it, it's 15 minutes. And then that's the end of it. And then you just play another period. And then it's overtime, sudden death after that, field goal or not. And whoever what has more total yards, or you want to call it, it's a coin flip. I mean, at some point, you know, this is not like baseball, right? Where the only attrition is the pitchers. And it's not like basketball, where it's just 5 minutes. That's it. You play a 5 minute period and let's go. And they lean on each other for five more minutes. This is football. People are kicking each other's ass. You know, at some point, you know, people are going to get gassed. And not every overtime is going to be decided by a coin flip. I mean, you were just assuming the number one defense in the league was going to get steamrolled if they lost the coin toss, and they did. Take a break. Overreaction Monday when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. This is going to be lit, as the kids might say. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Is Tom Brady going to come back for another football season? He's under contract. He turns 45.
Wait 1 second.
No. Well, I'm saying that to just let everyone know that Rick Stroud is joining us at the top of the next hour.
Okay,
I'm not giving my opinion.
Okay, great.
I'm just letting everyone know that the man who covers this scene and this beat and football for the Tampa Bay Times is joining us at the top of the next hour. Gronk's already spoken. Bruce Arians has spoken. And Brady spoke yesterday. So that's coming up. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It is time for another edition of Overreaction Monday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Chris, I'm hydrating so I don't cramp up in the middle of this.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, guys, Saturday's games, both walk-off field goals to win the game. Both one seeds lose. Sunday, 27-3, you think it's over. Tom Brady does his thing. Rams tried to give it away, and then a walk-off overtime win by the Chiefs. This was the greatest weekend of football of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I told you that in the this stat will tell it alone. This is my crack friends at the NFL Network Research. All four divisional round games won with no time remaining in regulation or in overtime. In the history of the NFL postseason, there's never been four such games throughout an entire playoff season. Wild card, divisional, championship, Super Bowl. You take every single version of those in the playoffs. There weren't even four such games throughout the entirety of the postseason, and we saw it all on one weekend. And again, I don't remember the last time a divisional playoff weekend finished up where each of the winners could make an argument that they can win the Super Bowl, that they can absolutely win the next two games. Okay? All four can do that, and all four losers, or non-winners, if you will, of these playoff games could fire somebody or no longer bring somebody back in an important job on the field and be totally understandable to do so. Not an overreaction at all. What's next?
Tom Brady, Bucks quarterback. You guys heard of him?
Yes.
He's 44 years old. He won 13 games this year, the first time in 5 years. Led the league. Completions, attempts, yards, touchdowns. He was the least sacked quarterback in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
Lost on Sunday. Tom Brady has played his final football game.
I think that's an overreaction. I think he's going to sit there and he's going to realize that, you know what? I don't want to go out with my last play being a handoff to Leonard Fournette. I don't want to do that in a loss. Just don't want it. That he has an opportunity to do it one more time. He's got the group. He's got the setup. He's got maybe the support of his family, but it really does depend on, like, I will tell you this. Anytime my wife or my kids say, hey, how about this? And I'm thinking, no shot, because I've got work, I've got this, I've got that. It totally changes my mindset. Totally does. If one of his, if his daughter says, daddy, I'd love to have you a little bit more, then I think that might be a wrap. I'm serious.
You know, Rich, not to interrupt, but Chris Carter was on Good Morning Football this morning and talked about that. And yes, what Chris Carter said was, guys don't really retire to spend time with their family. He goes, they say it, they give you the sound bite,
yeah,
but in reality, they want to keep playing until physically they can't do it anymore. But I just found it interesting that he said that. He goes, they'll tell you that, but guys,
well, I'm not
don't.
Saying that he wants to do it to spend more time with his family, because obviously he has so many business endeavors that he can maybe even make more money doing that than play football. Yeah. That's for sure. I'm just saying that if his daughter says to him, daddy, I don't want you to do it anymore, then that might be a wrap. Yeah. I don't know if she would, but
seems
I'm just
like
saying.
Giselle wanted him to be done playing years ago.
I will essentially do whatever my daughter asks, and unfortunately, she knows it. What else over there, Chris?
All right, here's a zag on this one. Aaron Rodgers is going to be the Packers quarterback in 2022.
Best
situation to win. Still in a contract. Still making a boatload of money. They franchise tagged Davante Adams, so he'll be back. You got the running backs. Defense is good. Held the Niners.
Wait 3 years. Jordan Love can wait 3 years.
Yeah, why not?
I don't think that's an overreaction at all. I think the prevailing wind is that they think he has finished there in Green Bay, and it takes two to tango, man. It takes two to tango.
Maybe the one seed again.
They did put a lot on the credit card for being accused of not drafting for the now.
Right.
They did put a ton on the credit card, and now that bill might be due. And the question is what do you do? So I will say that's not an overreaction, even though that's a zig to everyone else's zag right now, or is that a zag to everyone else's zig? Or
just throwing it out there.
I am not a capologist. I don't play one on TV. Andrew Brandt is on tomorrow's show and might be able to know a little bit more of the inner workings of all of this. But he'd have to get Davante Adams back, and he'd have to make sure that defense stays remotely intact. So, what else, Christopher?
All right, the king of swag resides in the Queen City. That's Cincinnati, folks. Joe Burrow will be the first quarterback to win a Super Bowl from the last four draft classes.
Give me some names.
That's 2018 and on. That's Lamar Jackson. That's Josh Allen. That's Kyler Murray. That's
Baker
Mayfield. That's Sam Darnold. That's
Davis Mills.
That's Justin Herbert. That's
okay.
Tua. That's Mac Joe, that's Trevor, whatever.
That's a good one.
Joe Burrow will be the first quarterback.
I'll say that's not an overreaction.
He's one of the last four left.
He's got the best chance.
I know he's two wins away from you being right. And that's a tall order, Cotton, for this AFC Championship game. But I won't put it past him, no doubt. And the Bengals have gotten good really fast.
Really fast.
Yes, sir.
Really, like whoa fast.
Like shoring up the offensive line a little bit more, and they're good to go fast.
Like all your draft picks on linemen next year, and let's go.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. That's a buy. I'll buy that. What else?
All right. Mm-hmm. Jimmy G is playing again this week. Jason, he's not going to die. The 49ers made a mistake trading up to draft Trey Lance.
No,
I mean, come on.
No.
Like, let's be honest.
No. Overreaction.
What are you crazy?
Overreaction.
That's, I mean.
What, are you crazy?
No.
All right, I'm looking forward to your reasoning on this.
Because we haven't seen Trey Lance play yet.
But Jimmy, and he's in the Final Four again.
Yeah,
he's
going
to another Super Bowl in 3 years, two in 3 years.
Gents, once upon a time, we were all wondering why draft Patrick Mahomes and move up to go get him when you got Alex Smith. And
I don't think we ever thought.
No. No. Look it up, Chris. I know you've got this thing. If you want to do this, TJ, what was the Chiefs' record the year that they sat Smith in week 17 to give Mahomes a little start?
That was 27.
What was their record going into week 17 of that 2017 season? And I know that Alex Smith didn't take the Chiefs as far as what Jimmy G is taking the 49ers writ large. It's not just Jimmy G, as we know. No offensive touchdowns in the win in Green Bay, but do what you got to do.
So they were 9-6.
They were 9-6. They already had a playoff berth wrapped up, but they ended up beating the Broncos.
I need to see what Trey Lance looks like first, okay? And if Lance starts winning games because he sat for that year, if let's just say, because we laughed, like almost practically laughed at Matt Nagy saying that he was going to go do the Justin Fields Mahomes plan with Justin Fields. Remember that? He came in May after the draft, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't plan on playing him all year long." And I'm like, "I don't know if you're going to have the luxury of doing that." The Niners have actually pulled that off. Let's see what Lance looks like before we go here. Overreaction. That's why I'm saying it right now.
All right.
What else, Chris?
All right. Next up. Super Bowl's in SoFi, right? Super Bowl's
up
in SoFi.
Up the road from here, yes.
The Rams are going to be the second straight home team to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, not an overreaction. And you know what? They actually have done the Bucks won better because the Bucks had a win on the road to make it a home Super Bowl. And the Rams are at home to make it a home Super Bowl, which, by the way, the Vikings didn't have that opportunity. That music, that Minnesota miracle put them in Philadelphia. And I am pouring one out right now for all of my colleagues at the events department in the National Football League home office. Having a championship game in the spot of the Super Bowl 2 weeks before is what we will call a logistical conundrum.
Oh, yes.
This is a Rubik's Cube that there are a lot of people trying to solve right now. Because right now they would normally want to go in and start prepping for the big game. And there's another game right now. And it is so big. This game here in Los Angeles is so huge and so unexpectedly big for the Los Angeles Rams that both Brockman and Del Tufo are going to sell their tickets. Yes, you are.
I'm going to work the game, probably.
You're both selling your tickets. You're working the game, which means you're going to sell your tickets.
I may give them to somebody. Maybe.
Oh, really? Because I could use two for one of my poker buddies who doesn't want to pay anything over cost. So
$2,500 a ticket.
See, right? I'm just telling you, it's so big. Yeah, these guys are going to sell their tickets.
No comment.
I want to go.
Suddenly, you want to move off the.
I got two more. Cooper Kupp. I mean, he's the best offensive player in football. This guy's unstoppable.
I have another.
Let him get deep on you twice?
He's joined Steve Smith and Jerry Rice as the members of the Triple Crown regular season club to make a championship game. So there's that.
It's 3rd and 20, and he gets behind you for a 70-yard touchdown. The whole game shifted on that
play. It was nuts.
Play.
How did Mike Evans get behind Jalen Ramsey, too?
That was so casual. Like, Cooper Kupp is out of this world.
No,
man.
I mean, he's Offensive Player of the Year in my mind, period. Him and Debo being on the same field in the NFC Championship game. Although not at the same time. I don't think Debo's going to play both ways. But
will that surprise you, though?
Yeah, I know, right? Good.
You got one more?
Last one. Titans can't win a championship with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, that's not an overreaction, I would have to say.
You know what I mean?
I think that's a fair assessment. It's entirely possible he could pull a, what, Gannon or a Brad Johnson? He does have the two-way ability. Like Allen and Mahomes. He can beat you with his legs. He can beat you with his arms. But he just...
A big mistake comes at the worst time.
I don't know what to say. If I'm the Titans, I did see that game against each other with Allen and Mahomes and say, we gotta upgrade here. Because if we get to one of those or anything close to one of those, we could take care of business.
Sean Watson?
I don't know. But that was a tough one for the Titans to see with Ryan Tannehill. They might not go in a different direction. They might think this is an overreaction, but right now I'll buy that one right now.
Hey, Chris, you said with the Niners, picking Lance, if they would have stayed at number 12, you know who went 12th in the draft? Micah Parsons. So the Niners could have Micah Parsons.
Coming up.